My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. That's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
Amen, amen. A great reminder for all of us. And we got an incredible message to give out. You know, typically in Easter and Christmas, people seem to be a little bit more willing to listen to the gospel message. And so we've got an opportunity in this Christmas season to be able to do that. So we wish you a Merry Christmas. We're glad that you're here. We got a lot of things going on. If you might notice, we got the Grinch trees up. And so my bride, that is her brainchild. And so she's done an incredible job with that. By the way, and we invite you, you know, at some point in time over the course of the Christmas season, because all these things will be up throughout. If you want to take some pictures in front of the trees or over there in front of Mark Bebout built those things, and they are solid. I think they're made of iron because those things are heavy. Oh my goodness! And so, but I appreciate Christy doing all this. Kind of a good reminder for us about what we're doing today. And this new season, our new sermon series that we're doing this season is called "The Blank That Stole Christmas." And so today we'll talk about the schedule that stole Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I was just talking with Carrie Duncan in the back and about all the things that are already beginning to stack up in this Christmas season. And it is already getting busy, busy, busy. And by the way, Leslie, absolutely great job. They were all singing. I could hear them out there. So, and I think the people I was sitting around were going, "Phew, thank goodness people can, you know, drown him out." And so that's a great thing. So I loved all of that. By the way, thank you for all those that walked the parade yesterday. What an incredible thing to be able to do. You will see the pictures probably on Facebook and Instagram and all that type of stuff. But we had our nativity out, and it's interesting walking the crowd. And I was tossing out candy beside the truck while the trailer had the nativity on it. And by the way, it was incredible not to pull Mark out of the audience again, but we actually got Mark to dress in purple, and that was kind of a cool thing yesterday, as he was one of the wise guys in the back. But to hear the people in the crowd, kids and everybody else, go, "Oh, the baby Jesus, the baby Jesus, the baby Jesus." And so that is an incredible picture for folks. And again, and this is not a slam on any church. It's not a slam of anything. It's just, I'm just putting things in perspective to think that we, our church had the only nativity, right? And so just to point attention to that. And so it's not a pat us on the back type of thing. It's just a what is type of thing. And that's the message we want to share with other people. It's always about Jesus. It's always about him. It's never about us. It's always about him. And so our hope is that people walked away, with a pocket full of candy in there with them, but they also walked away knowing what the reason for the season really was about. So I want to thank you for everybody that showed up early and everybody that got there and everybody that dressed in a costume that just wasn't your thing, but yet you wore a turban because somebody handed it to you and said, here, wear this turban and walk up Lilburn like that. You know, now some people may have done that on a bet, but probably not to do it for the gospel, but what an incredible thing to be able to have that happen. So anyways, today we're going to be talking about kind of not our Christmas spirit. We're not really worried about your Christmas spirit like, you know, some movies might be like Elf and like some of the Santa Claus movies. We're more concerned about bringing the wonder and the excitement about Jesus into the Christmas season. Because there's so many things that distract us from that. We've got family gatherings and we've got food and we've got food, and then we've got more food, and so, and all of that, and parties and things of that nature, and gifts and stuff, and all those things are great. I mean, those things aren't bad at all. I mean, I love the trees, I love the tinsel, I love all that stuff, but we want to make sure, as best as we can, through this sermon series, our goal is to bring some back kind of the wonder and the amazement of the miracle of Jesus stepping into our world, because it really is miraculous that Jesus came into our world, God with us, Emmanuel, and became a little baby. It is a supernatural occurrence that sometimes if you've been at church for a while and you've been hanging around church and you've heard all the stories and you've read and you've seen the nativity scenes and you set your own nativity scene up, we know all the stories, right? We know all about it, you know. In fact, if I were to read Luke 2, some of you would probably say, no, you didn't. You need to say it in the King James Version because that's the version you listen to, right? So we've heard all the stories. But the problem is sometimes we are so familiar with it that the familiarity kind of loses the wonder and the amazement of the miracle that it really is that Jesus came into our world. And so that's kind of what we want to try to capture through these next few weeks as we hang out together talking about this thing that stole Christmas. And so when I think about the wonder and amazement, I often think about this. Maybe you've heard the story before. Back in 1969, there was a professor, a Christian by the name of Peter Stoner, who took eight of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Now, Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies, and he fulfilled tons of prophecies just in the fact that he was born, when he was born, how he was born, where he was born, all those types of things. But this professor took eight random prophecies about Jesus, and so here's the prophecies they took. He took the prophecy that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He took the prophecy that Jesus' birth would be preceded by a messenger, i.e. John the Baptist. He took the prophecy of Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, that the fact that he would be betrayed by a friend, that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver, and that money would then be used to buy a potter's field. He took the prophecy that Jesus would be silent before the people that were accusing him, silent as a lamb, and then the prophecy that his hands and feet were pierced. So there's eight of these prophecies. He just pulled out eight out of the hundreds that Jesus had fulfilled, and he had his math class do the probability of what are the chances of just one person fulfilling eight of those prophecies, just eight. And the number was, it was 10, it was one in 10 to the 17th power. So if you take the number 10 and take 17 zeros at the very end, that's the probability of Jesus only fulfilling eight of those types of prophecies. And he fulfilled hundreds of them. And many of them happened at his birth. And so my hope is that we can step back and we can say, wow, Jesus really did do that. He really did become a little baby and come into our world and then die for us on a cross. And so that's our hope today. And yet, if you're like me, If you're like me, you still get caught up in the busyness and in the Christmas things that happen around us. I think it's just a part of who we are in many ways. I get caught up in the lights, and I get caught up in all the gatherings and in all of that. And so our hope is that at the end of the day, that you will walk away with a better appreciation of what Jesus has done for you and the wonder of it all. There's a scene in The Grinch as we kind of talk about the schedule that you have. Now, some of you go, I'm retired and you know, you may have more time than you think. However, I know many of you have said, listen, if I didn't have doctor's appointments, I don't know what I did before, right? I don't know how I was able to work because you're going to doctor's appointments and all that sort of thing. All of us are busy and all of us got things going on. This past week, I thought was going to be a kind of an easy week. Oh my goodness. Was slammed, packed full. I don't know how I packed everything into this past week. And then you've got other people in your own family trying to work out their schedules and all of that. And then you've got, some of you probably have family maybe out of town that you got to go see at some point in time for Christmas. Or maybe you've swapped it and did the Thanksgiving thing. But all these things start stacking up and our calendars get busy. And then you think, I can't pack another thing in. And you kind of rush around. You're thank goodness for Amazon because they can deliver some gifts, right? We don't have to go anymore and go buy them. However, we have to go somewhere and go to the store and get this, that, and the other, and it just gets busy. It just gets busy. I'm reminded of one of my favorite lines from The Grinch, the one that Jim Carrey, where he plays The Grinch. One of my favorite lines is he gets an invitation he finds an invitation from Whoville for their Christmas event. And he kind of is coming up with reasons why he shouldn't go. At first he says, well, I don't have anything to wear. But then he pivots to his schedule and he pulls out his schedule book. And this is what he says. He says, imagine those Whos inviting me on such short notice. Even if I wanted to go, my schedule, that's how he says it, my schedule wouldn't allow it. Let's see. And then he starts to look in his book. 4 o'clock, wallow in self-pity. 4:30, stare into the abyss. 5 o'clock, solve world hunger. Tell no one. 5:30, jazzercise. 6:30, dinner with me. And I can't cancel that again. 7 o'clock, wrestle with my self-loathing. I'm booked. Of course, if I bump loathing to 9, I could still be done in time to lay in bed, stare at the ceiling, and slip slowly into madness. I love that line, right? Because it kind of depicts the fact that we're all busy with something, right? We all got something that we're busy with. And so for all of us, we know that our schedules can sometimes get out of whack. No matter if you're working, no matter if you have kids or don't have kids, still we find ourselves busy trying to get everything done, and we can miss some of the small things. We can miss out on Jesus. We can miss out on Him. Not just little baby Jesus and remembering what Christmas is all about, but we can actually miss out on spending time with Him. One of the things you hear us say over and over and over again here at MC3 is read the word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word, because I think I can speak for all of us as leaders and all of our staff that we put a high priority on the fact that that is really God's Word, Him really speaking to us. And yeah, you could have someone like me or someone even smarter be able to share God's Word with you, and you could be filled up with what's being said from the stage. However, the most important thing is for you to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him personally speak to you. In fact, my hope is today that even though we all collectively may hear the same message, that individually the Lord will speak to you on what you need to hear today for your life so that you can grow in Him. And so it is important for us to spend time with God. But how do we negotiate that with our schedules? How do we make time for that? Because some of you may be going, man, I'd love to do that, but I don't have a lot of time for anything. I don't have time to breathe, you know. I've got kids. They've got to get to daycare. They got to get to school. They got to get to all these activities. Or I've got all these things I've got to do. You don't know how many people I've got to help and how many people that I've got to be there for. How am I going to make time for all of that? In fact, Art, if you're talking about making sure that my schedule is cleared enough that I can sit back and just kind of take in the wonder of Christmas, now you're going to tell me that on top of it, you're going to add in the fact fact that I need to spend time with Jesus and I got to try to pencil him in? How's that going to happen? You're not helping me, Art, right? And so sometimes we can even think about that and the fact that our schedule just gets so, so busy. But I think Jesus gives us a really good picture, a picture in the scriptures as to how we can take time out of our busy schedules to spend time with the most important person in our world, and I'm going to even say in the universe. Because as we often say, God wants to spend time with you more than you want to spend time with him. And that's true. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter the sins you've committed, no matter who you are or how incredible you think you are or how lowly you think you are, God wants to spend time with you. He loves you. He cares for you. He has made you and has made your personality in such a way. He knows you inside and out. Scripture says he has the hairs of your head numbered. For some of us, that's easy. And for others, it's hard, right? And so he knows us, and yet he still wants to spend time with us. However, the other side of it, we often sometimes don't spend time with him. And we need to make sure that we do that, that we spend time with him. So how do we negotiate our schedules in order for that to happen? Well, Jesus, I believe, had one of the busiest schedules ever. I mean, even in the midst of meeting with people, Jesus never seems... You ever notice in scriptures, he never seems rushed. Jesus never seems like he's rushing here or going there or making sure he's got to be there on time. Jesus is, he's one of the coolest cats in the room, right? He is chill. I mean, he is just, he just kind of saunters in. And if someone torpedoes his schedule, he's like, he's cool with it. He does his thing. He misses a funeral for a great friend. It's not that big of a deal, right? It's not that he was being a jerk. You know, he was doing the Lord's work. And so Jesus is just, he's never in a hurry. It's interesting. Even when someone comes with their problems and their struggles and they're in a hurry, like, you got to come now because if you don't come now, my daughter's going to die. And so I need you to hurry up. So let's come on, Jesus, let's go. Jesus, he's just relaxed. He's never in a rush. And yet, I believe he had one of the busiest schedules out of anybody. And so in that, I'm just going to kind of look at this because in Mark chapter 1, we see this. In fact, oddly enough, Brandon and I were talking about this yesterday. There's a passage of scripture, and I don't know if we've mentioned it in here, but there's a passage of scripture in John chapter 21, verse 25, at the very end of the book of John, the Gospel of John, where John just kind of throws this out there. He says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. And so, this is particularly telling in the fact that Jesus had he only had a 3.5-year ministry. It's not like he had a 30-year ministry or a 40-year ministry or longer. It was a 3.5-year ministry. And so what you're telling us, John, is that if we had written down everything that Jesus did, every conversation, every time he healed somebody, everything he said, everything that he did, every place that he went, if we were to do that, we wouldn't be able to fill up enough books for that. So that tells me that Jesus had a very, very, very tight schedule in that 3.5 years that he was doing ministry. And yet in Mark 1, we kind of get a snapshot of a day in the life of Jesus. It's kind of interesting. You can go back and read the whole thing for yourself. But what we see at first is that he calls Simon and he calls Andrew and Peter and John, Andrew, Simon, James, and John, now into the ministry. He calls them out. We talked about that last week, oddly enough. He calls them out. Then they begin to travel to Capernaum where they go to a synagogue because Jesus is scheduled to speak, so to speak, there at this synagogue. And so while Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, this crazy guy stands up in the middle of the service and I don't know what he does, but he's like, and Jesus is like, get out of here, Satan. And so he gets rid of the impure spirit out of the guy. Everybody around is kind of amazed going, wow, that never happens at church. That's amazing. And so then Jesus goes from there over to Simon Peter's home. And when he gets there, Simon Peter's mother-in-law is really, really sick with a fever, not doing well at all. Jesus goes and heals her. And then word gets out, hey, there's this guy over at Peter's house and he's healing people. And everybody's like, well, let's come on over. And so everybody starts showing up at Simon Peter's house. And so Jesus is there. Scripture says that he's there until the late evening, and he is healing people. He is healing people. And so sometime late at night, you get the last person that's there, and they get healed from whatever it is they had, and everybody is sacking out. Everybody gets their sleeping bags out, and they're sleeping on the couch. They're sleeping everywhere. And so Jesus goes to sleep for a little bit, and then the disciples wake up, and they're like, dude, where's Jesus at? I don't know. We've lost Jesus already. Like yesterday, we lost baby Jesus. Mike calls me up and goes, hey, Art, I'm on my way to the parade, and I forgot baby Jesus. We need a baby Jesus, you know? And then so we put an all caps bulletin out to everybody. Hey, baby Jesus, MIA, does anybody have a baby Jesus somewhere? And Brittany raises her hand in the chat, so to speak, and says, I'll go by and get a baby Jesus. And she stopped by, her and Brian stopped by Walmart, picked up a baby Jesus. We were all good, but we forgot baby Jesus yesterday. And so people looked around, and they forgot, they lost Jesus. Like, where is he at? And so then we get to Mark chapter 1, and then it says this, that says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. The Son of God, fully God, fully man, gets up early in the morning, when everybody's still asleep, and goes, you know, I got a busy schedule. This is the only time I can do it without everybody bothering me. So he goes off somewhere outside, leaves everybody sleeping. They haven't had their Pop-Tarts and their Post-Toasties yet. He leaves out and goes out, and he's praying. In fact, he stays there the whole time until Simon Peter goes and finds him and says, oh, there you are. We've been looking all over for you. And then his prayer time is over. It's interesting. If the Son of God needed or desired and wanted or all the above to spend time with the Father, how much more do you and I need to spend time with him? How much more do we need to spend time in the Word with Jesus? Here's the thing. You and I need to make time for Jesus. You and I need to make time for Jesus. We need to carve out that time, whatever that time is. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 10 minutes, it could be 15, it could be an hour, whatever you got. Let me encourage you to spend time with, it's important to make time for Jesus, because it's in those moments that he can speak into us. It's in those moments that we get to draw close to him and his word. It's in those moments that we can learn what truth really is, because we hear a lot of voices in this world. There's a lot of voices saying a lot of things. Where do we go? What is truth? If your truth is your truth and this truth is my truth, what is truth? Because truth is constant. It never changes. Where do we find truth? Right here in God's Word. It's right here in God's Word. He's the Creator. He created all of us. He knows what is real and what is fake. He knows. And we need to be able to, throughout all the voices that are going on around us, and many of them are the voices of the enemy, we need to know what truth is. And so therefore, we need to make time for Jesus. It is important for us to do that. How much more important? If Jesus did it, we should do it as well. And at the end of the day, it's not really about, by the way, it's not really about religion, right? We don't want you to read the Bible just so you can go, well, I read the Bible today. I guess that makes me a good person. I check that box, right? Kind of like coming to church. I came to church, so I'm a good person today. Check the box. We do everything we do, hopefully here at MC3, is really about relationship with God. It's not about religion. We want you to read God's word, not so that you walk away going, I'm a good person because I read. We want you to read God's word because it's God speaking to you. We want you to pray because there is something incredible that happens to us when we pray. Have you ever felt anxious or worried or scared about something, and then you go to God and just spend time with him? Man, worry and anxiety, at least for the moment, evaporate. Being in his presence is an incredible place to be. And that's what prayer is all about. When you come to church, we want you to come to church because, man, you're excited about not only hearing God's word, but you're excited about sharing in the fellowship with other people, right? It's about relationships with one another and relationships with God. And so everything we do, it shouldn't be about religion. It should be about a relationship with him. In Luke chapter 10, this is a famous passage of scripture. In Luke chapter 10, we're told that Jesus and his disciples were on their way, And he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And this happened quite honestly a lot back in those days. Jesus came in and Jesus was doing incredible things. And she says, hey, I got this nice big house, this nice big place. You guys can come and stay with us. And so, you know, she had rooms for, you know, the Apostle Peter and everybody. Yeah, had places for everybody. In fact, probably housed, and we're going to see this here in a second, housed opportunities for people to come over to her house to listen to Jesus speak. And so she opens her home to Jesus. Verse 39 says she had a sister called Mary. A lot of people named Mary back in those days, which, by the way, Jesus was a common name back in those days as well. And so she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted. She was distracted by all the preparations. You know, people had to get their donuts, right? They had to get their donuts and their coffee, right? They had to make sure they got their tea and their biscuits and all that. So somebody's got to do that. And so Martha is the perfect person. It's her house. She knows where all the cups are and all the plates and all the forks and everything. And so she's getting all that set up. And so she's distracted by all making sure everybody's got napkins and everybody's using those coasters and not getting those rings on a coffee table, all that type of stuff. She's worried about all those things. And it says that she came to Jesus and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. And then Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. You know, if in our life, we're worried and upset about a lot of things, right? And some things are small and some things are big, but we're worried and upset about a lot of things. But Jesus says a few things are needed. Few things are needed, or indeed only one. Only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, this is better than anything else. So whatever it is you've got to do in a day, in a 24-hour period that you've got, no matter what you've got to do, no matter how incredible you think this thing is or how important that is, the most important thing Jesus says is that we sit at his feet, that we listen to him, that we, if for us, that means getting, we just get into his word. This is the most important thing right here. Martha was distracted by those things, always rushing here and there and trying to making sure everything was done. And that's what we do. We go here and we rush there and we see it on, I mean, it happens on 78 all the time out here, right? People zooming by because they think they got to get to somewhere as quick as they can and it's a raceway and you're like, man, that's not me. And so you're trying to figure it out. You know, we're always packing into our schedules things like, well, I guess I can, you know, I can fit that in here. And we overload our schedules thinking, we got to get it all done. And we get worried about it, right? I got to make sure I'm here and I got to make sure I do this and make sure I do that. Man, I look at it and I look at this story and I go, I so identify with Martha. I could be Martha, right? I could be her because that's exactly the way I feel. I got to get here and I got to get there and I got to get there and that sort of thing. But I want to be a Mary. I want to be like Mary. I want to be like her where you sit at Jesus' feet and you get a chance just to listen to him. I'm a Martha on some level, but I want to be like Mary, where we take the time to be with the Lord. I think that's for all of us. We need to do that because Jesus says that's a better way to approach things. That's why we need to make time for Jesus. And so let's not let our schedules be stolen by the busyness of this Christmas season or even the busyness of life. Let's not let our schedules get stolen even in this new year that we're about to approach, where we don't take the time just to spend time with the Lord. You know, I got to thinking about the Christmas story and the usual suspects, the usual characters that are in there that we always had. You know, like we had the usual suspects yesterday. We had wise men, or like wise guys as I call them. We had shepherds, we had angels, we had a Mary, we had a Joseph, and we had a baby Jesus, which was good. And so we had all that, right? We had all that together right there, all the usual suspects. And when you look at Matthew chapter 2 and Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 2, and you see all these characters, one of the things that's interesting is that they all missed out on Jesus. They weren't expecting Jesus. He kind of surprised everybody. Herod was too busy holding on to power to recognize Jesus was there. The religious leaders that he called in to talk to them, they were too busy, what I'm going to call playing church or being religious, so to speak. They were too busy doing all those things. They missed out on Jesus coming in. The innkeeper was too busy making sure that the arrangements for his guests were taken care of. The shepherds were tired and too distracted with their flock to really pay attention to Jesus until the angels showed up and highlighted that. And really, quite frankly, the whole world at that time, the whole world was just too busy and wrapped up in itself to notice that Jesus had come into the world. It seems that the only ones that were expecting Jesus were Mary and Joseph. And they were prompted by an angel, and of course, Mary was pregnant. That was a great reminder for her that Jesus was on the way, right? And she knew he was on the way. But I like how Luke, at the very end of his Christmas story, so to speak, in Luke chapter 2, I like how Luke kind of wraps all of this up. He says these famous words, and maybe you've heard these before. He writes, "So they," the shepherds, "hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." But I love verse 19, and verse 19's always kind of escaped me a little bit. Now, I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer, right? Not the sharpest or the brightest bulb around, and so it kind of takes me a little bit. But this always escaped me. I thought these words were a little bit mysterious to me, but these words in verse 19 kind of popped off the page this week for me. But in verse 19, it says this, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." She pondered them in her heart. It's as if Mary was soaking up in that moment as Jesus has been placed in a manger. It's as if Mary was just kind of soaking in all that was told about Jesus before they got to this moment and all that was happening in that moment, and maybe even all the things that maybe she was expecting after that moment. She was just kind of soaking it all in there with little baby Jesus, who would one day become the Savior of all mankind. He would be our Savior, yours and mine. And she was just kind of sitting there with Jesus, kind of soaking it all in. So what about you and me? What about you? Do you expect to see Jesus during this time of year, during this Christmas season? I'm not talking about the baby in the manger, right? I'm not talking about, do you expect to actually see Jesus? Are you planning to be like Mary and just take time to get with God in His Word and just kind of soak in what He's telling you? Just you, right? We can all read the same passage and the Holy Spirit speak to us in such ways that are different. And then all we have to do is just apply it to our lives. Are you like Mary? Just kind of take it, just sit back and just kind of soak it all in. Or maybe like the other Mary that we talked about, maybe even better than that, maybe we just want to sit at the feet of Jesus and soak in all that He's telling us. But here's the thing, MC3, we need to make sure that we are making time for Jesus, that we're making time for Him. Let me encourage all of us to not let our schedules get too out of whack, get too busy, that our schedules steal from us time with the Lord. And that's not just here at Christmas, but that's also every day. We don't want our schedules to get so out of whack that we forget, or at the very end of the day go, oh, I meant to, or oh, I should have, but now my head's on my pillow and I'm going to go to sleep, right? We want to make sure that we make time for Jesus. So let me encourage you. This is what I do, especially this Christmas season. I love the Christmas lights. And Christy obviously does the best trees ever. In our house, I'm going to tell you something, it is storefront perfect. I'm not saying that just because I'm trying to, you know, get brownie points by my wife. Well, maybe I am a little bit. But nonetheless, it is. It really is. She does a knockout job. In the morning, you know what I love to do? I love to turn the Christmas tree on. And I love to get a cup of hot coffee, maybe for you, it's you know, hot cocoa, or maybe it's an eggnog, or maybe it's a hot wassail. If you ever had that, if you haven't, you're missing out. Just get that and sit down and just enjoy time with the Lord. You know, we schedule a lot of things in that we think are important. And some of them are doctor's appointments and appointments with other people and schedules and places we got to go. But the most important thing, Jesus says, is to sit at his feet. Why do we not schedule that in? Why do we not put that in our schedule? Nope, I can't do that then. That's when I'm meeting Jesus. I've got a meeting right then. I can't do that there. I think it's important for us to do that. You know what I love about communion? And we're going to pivot to that right now. What I love about communion is it gives us an opportunity to kind of take a deep breath from a busy week and spend time with him. You've been hearing from me, but I think the most important person you need to hear from is the Lord himself. And it's sometimes in the quietness and the stillness of communion that that happens. And so today, as you get a chance to come up and you take the cup and you take the bread and you're kind of remembering Jesus, because Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember me. As often as you do this, ponder what I've done for you. As often as you do this, soak in what I did at the cross and at the tomb. And so in this moment, here's my hope, that for some of us, it may be the very first time that we kind of start doing this. That, you know what? From this moment on, I'm going to schedule my time with God. I'm going to make time for Jesus. I'm going to make it a priority, because Jesus says it's the most important thing that anybody could ever do. And maybe this is the start of it. But I want to encourage you, as you take it, you could take it up here, or if you take it back to your seat, doesn't matter. When you get back to your seat, just take those little moments, maybe a minute, maybe 30 seconds, I don't know, maybe the whole time, just to thank Jesus for what he's done for you. Spend time with him and make a priority that you are going to schedule time with Jesus. Let me pray. Father, thank you. You have made a way for us to know you. That in and of itself blows me away, to think that the God of the universe would want or desire to spend time with me. I'm a nobody. Nobody in this world. And yet you care. And Lord, you not only for me, but you care for all of us. All of us. And you want to spend time with us. Father, let us not throw that away. Let us not cast that aside. Let that not be stolen from us. Let the enemy not steal that seed from us, Father. But yet may we desire to spend time with you. May we desire to make you a priority, to make time with you, Father, not just in this Christmas season, but in this new year. And as we do, Father, you're always good. You're always good about allowing us to draw one step closer to you, one more step closer to you. And so, Father, I pray that through this, that we might all get one step closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all come and take communion.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.